From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
I'm Andrew Richards.
And I'm Mark Krasinovich.
And welcome to Defrag Tools. So, Mark, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me on.
I want to get to the most important question first. Last night you were talking about how you went to a Star Trek convention.
That's right.
And you met Neil Armstrong.
Yep.
I just wanted to know, what character were you dressed up as?
I'm not telling.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
All right,
I didn't
fair enough.
I've seen the photo and I'm not going to disclose it.
And you're a Next Generation fan,
yeah,
right?
Next Generation, yeah.
Okay, I tried to watch the old series with my daughter.
Yeah, and Voyager, by the way, too. I like Voyager.
Yeah, yeah. I watched an episode with my kids, and afterwards my daughter goes, why was his cell phone so big? So I was like, oh, forget it.
Yeah.
We're not watching this.
Yeah, but they were using tablets on Next Gen.
Yeah, so. They had the common sense to have the Envision tablets with pens, I should add, too.
Yep.
So good on that. So awesome. So, Andrew, what are we going to talk about today? We got a couple of new sysinternal
things. We haven't had Mark on for ages.
I
think it was like build 2012 or something. Yeah, where's the dating happening? And there's been lots and lots of tools come out over, for months. And so I just printed out the last, five major releases. I thought we might just go through some of the big boys and all the big features that have happened. So maybe jump into a favorite you've got.
Yep. Well, we can start with auto runs, which is a lot of people's favorite. And I think you've got everything on the path here. So we'll flip over to, not OneDrive.
Never mind.
We'll do this. Auto runs. And auto runs, for those people that haven't used it, is a tool that will scan a whole bunch of auto start locations on a Windows system, looking for places where code, drivers, plugins get activated. Every time you boot, you log in, you launch an application like Explorer or Internet Explorer. And one of the relatively new features is there's a timestamp here, which is the timestamp of the image. So if you're looking at a system and you know that something screwed up on it in the last week or so, you can look at the timestamps and
That was the time it was compiled or time it was put to disk?
It's the last modified time on the disk.
Okay.
So it should reflect the time that the auto start entry was updated or created. So that's one of the relatively new features. But one that I just posted yesterday is the WMI tab, which is going to be empty on most systems. But a lot of the entries that you see in auto runs actually evolved because me and Bryce saw malware using the various vectors to install themselves.
Yeah.
What the malware authors do is wherever they have the flashlight shined on them, they're like roaches, they'll go someplace else and hide there. And so, for example, print providers, the reason that's there is because malware using print providers. LSA providers, that's also because of malware using that. And most recently, this WMI tab exists because Microsoft's seen malware in the last 6 to 9 months that is now installing AutoStart objects in the WMI database as a way to activate when
it's like a WMI provider? Or
It's just WMI entry. So you can create an exec entry in there and run a batch file, run an executable. And so now what this tab will do is show you that stuff is there.
Cool. My favorite, procdump. Procdump has been not released for over a year because it's been refactored and added two kind of new features. One was that it now catches dump files when something crashes and it can install and uninstall itself for doing that. And so I'll do this. If we have a folder, for example, a dump folder, you can make prompt dump, capture a full dump when something crashes, and then you'll get a file in this folder whenever something happens. And actually, I've actually got one, which ironically is a WMI crash from yesterday. And so that way you can see what's going on in your system and maybe work out that you've got some bad DLL or something, some like an auto start type program, print provider or something that's just, instead of it being a malware thing, it can just be an annoying...
Something that's causing unreliability on your system.
Yeah. The other thing that's in version 7 is reflection. And so you can now take a dump in the background with the system live. So let's say you're playing a movie on Xbox Video and you want to take a dump file for some reason, the video will continue to play while in the background it's done in the background. So that's kind of cool. Access check.
Access check. So Aaron covered access check in depth in his talk yesterday afternoon, and he actually spurred me to add some new features to this. So if we run access check, the new feature is to show the file shares, I can't remember which switch I added for file shares, because this is one of those tools like yours that's filling up.
Yeah, it's got every letter of the alphabet. The tool officially retires when it hits.
There it is, dash H. So the reason I can't remember is dash H was kind of like, yeah, that's not really intuitive, but it's the only one of the only letters left. And I guess H is the second letter in share, so I'll just use that. But if you run access check dash H and say star, it's going to look at all the shares on the system. And a lot of people maybe not don't realize that there's a bunch of hidden shares, including admin dollar, which people are familiar with C dollar. But then you can see this one has been created by, looks like Config Manager, as well as this one. And this is the name pipe share for connecting to this thing through using name pipes, and then the print server share. So this way you can see if there's misconfiguration on these. And Aaron in his talk showed how at a customer site, they ran this on their systems and found a vulnerability in one of the shares that allowed people to spread.
SigCheck. SigCheck's one of those ones which is a bit boutique, but it's so powerful as well.
Yeah, so SigCheck has undergone a lot of changes. And one of them is if you just type SigCheck, which sys?
It's under my sysinternals.
My sysint. Nope.
No, my.
My.
Slash.
Sys.
My.
Oh, my.
Slash sysinternals.
No, nope. I'm not letting it wait long enough. All right. So if we run SigCheck on a utility, it shows that it's like a file version tool. So it'll show us that this thing is digitally signed. It'll say what the publisher is, who signed it, in this case Microsoft, and the name and version number of this thing. Also, this is, again, Aaron requested this because he's been troubleshooting a lot of 16-bit image problems. Mm. So now this will report the machine type, and if it's ARM, it'll also report that it's an ARM image. But one of the cool things that I added was this, which is the dash V switch. And if you put this with the dash R switch, what this does is connects to an online, it's basically antivirus as a service. This is asking me to agree to the terms and conditions of VirusTotal.com. VirusTotal is a service that lets you upload malware or images that you're suspicious of, and it'll perform an automated scan against 40 or 50 antivirus engines, Microsoft's antivirus engine being one of them, and report the results of it. So what's interesting when you look at malware is that not all the engines are aware of the malware. They don't have signatures for them. So even something that's a pretty virulent virus spreading out in the world might only have 20 of the 40. And so this makes it great because your own installed anti-malware might not be aware of it, but if you upload it to VirusTotal, you might see others that have already flagged it.
Nice.
So what I've done is, that's the terms of service, it's got a VirusTotal link here, and if we enter that link, we can look at the results of the scan. And actually, well, which is already reported as 0 to 52, so somebody's already submitted this particular image. If somebody hadn't submitted this, and by default, SigCheck with a switch will submit the file up with the dash S on there, so you could put VSR, and then it'll submit the upload the executable, which it won't do by default because you don't want to be doing SigCheck on your documents folder and uploading all your corporate documents to VirusTotal. And so it'll ask you to explicitly specify the submit switch. So this is a great way to easily hunt down malware. Run SigCheck with the dash E switch, which says only scan executables, with the dash V switch, the dash S switch, and point it at the root of your C drive, and it'll scan everything and report. And the dash, what's the switch? There's a switch here that only looks for ones that are unsigned. Dash U, what am I doing? So if you do dash U, if dash V, it'll only dump ones that are detect flagged as either unknown by VirusTotal or have a non-zero detection by VirusTotal. So
now, I remember you saying at some point that the minus if executables is not based on its extension name, is it? You look at the header of the file.
Yeah, so we could actually rename zoomit to zoomit.txt and sigcheck-ez, it'll still catch it.
Still pick it up, yeah. There's also a file entropy thing. What's that?
Oh, yeah, so file entropy. Actually, I don't think you've got the latest version because it's not... that dash A. So we need to do dash A if we want to see file entropy. And what file entropy does is, you can see there's a file entropy on Zoomit of 6.516. Entropy is a way that forensics, that malware forensics people use to identify potential malware, because the entropy on malware is usually very, very high. It's because they're using compression and encryption to try to obfuscate what's in there. If you look at most of the images on a Windows system, typical binaries have an entropy that's between 6 and 7. If you look at compressed malware or encrypted malware, oftentimes 7.5 or higher. And so this is another just signal as to try to figure out if something's potentially malicious or not.
Great. I wish we had more time, Mark.
Oh, we're out?
We're going to the next session, so I'm going to go to the hot room, and thanks for joining us.
Which is, it's not C, because that's checking actual catalog. I forget which one.
And
I,
you laugh at me, but you make me in the proc dump.
Show catalog name and image signer, dash I, where is it, dump, there, T. So it's always been able to dump the certificates that are on the chain, the signing chain for a particular image with the dash I switch. So if I do dash I on zoomit.txt, it'll show all the signers up to the trusted root here, Microsoft Corporation, which signed the Microsoft Code Signing PCA cert, which signed the Microsoft Root Authority cert. And then you can see the countersigners. These are timestamp countersigners on that, so that validates the timestamp of this thing. But one of the things we've also seen malware do is they'll stick a fake self-signed root authority into the trusted certificate store. And then any images that you look at this way and you say which ones are unsigned, it'll show up as signed and trusted by the system because this malicious root is trusted by the system.
Stuxnet went the other way, right? They stole someone's
root. They actually stole, which is
root.
Even better.
Yeah.
It's even better to steal a root. So what did I say that switch
T,
was?
T.
T.
T for
dash T. So this actually is dash T. And it takes the name of a store. And if I say star, it dumps me all the stores, like the machine CA store, the... the personal, the auth root store. There's a bunch of different stores, both on the machine's certificate stores as well as per user certificate stores. And so if you do the dash T, and it's actually checking these things, I decode the OIDs to human readable form, so to match the certificate dialogs.
Oh, we don't have to remember them?
Yeah, some of them are undocumented, which is really annoying.
So if there's multiple users, can the tool go across all profiles?
Or just the current profile. So if I do dash TU, this is looking at your, so you can see user address book.
Yeah.
GLC assert in here for your, that's been assigned to you, probably by MSIT.
Yeah.
And it's doing a resolution of the trust.
Can you use PSExec to go other users?
Can you use PSExec to, yeah, you can, because you can use PSExec, specify user account, specify the local account, and say you want to load the environment. And what that does is load the registry hive for that user in that session.
Cool. Talking PSExec, something to do with encryption.
Yeah, so PSExec in this Snowden era, PSExec lets you run tools on a remote system. Like if I said remote command, then that would get me a interactive command prompt from that remote system on the local one, so I could type in dir and other commands as if I was sitting on that remote system. And up until this release of PSExec, both that channel of the talking, unless you have IPsec on your network, that channel was unencrypted, as well as if you specify alternate credentials like Andrew and your password, I think it's 123456 7.
No, it's channel 9.
Oh, it's channel 9, yeah. It's C9 at Microsoft, right?
Yeah.
So if you did this, this username and password would actually be passed in the clear over to the other side, which, you know, it's going over your intranet. You shouldn't be doing this over the intranet. So there's not a whole lot of risk in general of being sniffed. But if you do have at local admins or you have malware that's sitting on the network and scanning for passwords flying through there, then this is an exposure. And so a lot of people said, hey, what about PSExec? It'd be great if you weren't passing this over the clear. So with this latest release of PSExec, it encrypts all traffic going to the other side, except for the initial command. As part, which it can't, because it needs to do a handshake with the other side to get the secrets exchanged. But
how does it get its? What's the protocol to get it onto the far end? Is it using IPC dollar sign or something? Or
it's using admin dollar sign.
Admin dollar sign.
Yeah.
So if you find PC isn't working, it might be because admin dollar sign's been taken off.
That's typically, you don't have file print sharing enabled, or you've disabled admin. Admin dollar share is there by default if you enable file print sharing.
Gotcha. But.
So what malware or malware method have you seen that just made you say, wow, that was pretty
Oh, actually,
incredible.
Yeah, there's a pretty cool one that I'm going to show in my talk tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
It is Serifef. It's a piece of malware called Serifef. And the way that it, once it gets on your system, it gets admin access by hijacking the Adobe Flash installer, install updater. So what you see when the malware activates is you see Adobe Flash saying, I need to update myself, with a USB prompt that looks with the blue trusted Adobe Flash player. You say yes, and what you've just done is given the malware admin credentials. Yeah. And the way that it does that is there's a lot of code that looks in the current directory for a DLL. And so what it does is drop a malicious DLL for a common the replacement for a common Windows DLL into a temporary directory, sets the Adobe Flash Player installer's current directory to that, launches it, and so when it goes fishing for that DLL, instead of finding it in System32, it finds it right there, and it's the malicious one, loads it in, now the malware is sitting there elevated as part of that elevation. Mm-hmm. So that was a pretty clever technique. The WMI one's another interesting one.
Yeah, how prevalent are these?
Serifef's actually pretty prevalent, so yeah. I mean, I expected to see these kinds of sophistication a long time ago, so we're just kind of seeing more of this now.
Yeah. Okay. PSPing?
PSPing is a tool that I wrote for Azure for troubleshooting network issues between virtual machines and Azure and just looking at the traffic from outside the cloud into Azure. So PSPing I wrote because there was no other tool that I could find, at least that was intuitive, that did all the things that I wanted to do when it came to looking at networks. So for example, I could do a PSPing of Microsoft.com, and we can check out the latency.
Got no missing.
To Microsoft.com from Andrew's system here. And this is like a standard ICMP ping, except this is doing a TCP connection, mm-hmm. seeing how long it takes to establish a TCP connection with the other side. And so you can see it's about 60, 70 milliseconds.
Because most sites don't have ICMP turned on, so if you try pinging Microsoft.
Yeah, if you don't specify a port, then it's a standard ICMP ping. There's only a few places that have ICMP turned on, and actually I'll show you one of them. Because I looked around to find ones. New York Times has it on. CNN has it on. Oh, Yahoo. Yeah, you can ping Yahoo with ICMP pings. So, and the other thing about this is you look at the timestamps on it. Let's compare that with the standard ping. You can see this is 76 milliseconds, whereas here you're seeing sub-millisecond resolution, which is what I wanted to. When you're working on local networks, then sub-millisecond resolution is important.
Every bit makes a difference.
Yeah. The other things it can do are a bandwidth test, though. It can do bandwidth and latency, and that requires you to install PSPing both on the target and the server. But unlike other tools like NTTCP, have you ever used that tool?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that one requires...
I use now, but...
Oh, yeah. That requires you to enter this complex command line on the source, and then another very complex command line on the target to actually get them to talk to each other, and I found that really obnoxious. First of all, it's bizarre command line syntax, and then you got to remember, oh, it's the client, I need to do these things and server that thing. Yeah. With PSPing, you just run PSPing-S. You tell it which... PSPing-... Like, if I'm doing... Oh, it's been a while since I ran this, too. Let's see, -T, -question-T. So what you'll do is, -L. Let's do a latency test. So it tells you on the server or the client here, you specify PSPing and then -S with the source and a source port. So if I do ipconfig to look at what endpoint I want to listen on, of course, I can do this, and then PSPing-S. I have to specify a port here, and it has to be a port that's open on this machine. Here, so you want me to open that up? Probably not.
No.
So there. So it's really not accessible at this point, but it's listening there. And if I then go to another machine and I do a PSPing, I can do bandwidth tests against that. I can do latency tests against that. I never have to come back here and mess with the target like you do with tools like NTTCP.
So that firewall dialog popped up, was that it responding to the request, or was that the new firewall feature that you have in PSPing?
That's the new firewall feature. So PSPing actually explicitly tries to open the firewall up. And the -F, actually, if you don't have that feature turned off, -F will pop, will do it silently. So if you've got admin rights,
yeah.
then dash F opens that port for the duration of the test. So it's open right now. If I do control C, it'll close that port back up if it was closed when it started.
And I think I saw somewhere it's just named PS ping or something in the firewall rules.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, if we could, you want to take a look at that? I don't know if you have time. Where's advanced firewall?
No, it doesn't like it. Huh. Let's try firewall and you might be able to see it.
Here, we go advanced.
Yeah.
And if we go to inbound rules, because this is going to be an inbound rule, and this takes a second to refresh. So there's PS ping right there.
Cool. Awesome.
Cool, and I saved my favorite for last, Process Explorer 16.
Yeah, Process Explorer 16, the granddaddy of them all. Process Explorer, of course, a task manager type replacement tool.
Is it more your favorite than Process Monitor?
No, Process Monitor is my favorite, yeah. Process Monitor, the number of cases that are solved with Process Monitor, mentioned this, yes. When did we were talking about this the other day.
Yeah,
when in doubt, run Process Monitor.
Yeah.
I had that slide in my deck yesterday in Hardcore Debugging. I actually used Process Monitor to solve the case in the end rather than looking at the dump file.
Yeah.
I put the David Solomon slide up there. I made everybody chant it as they should.
Good. Indoctrinating the masses to know the power of Procmon. But Process Explorer is a fun tool too. The levels of depth that are in here, I think most people aren't really aware of. But I mentioned the VirusTotal feature, which is the first tool that I integrated with VirusTotal. Process Explorer is the second tool that I integrated with Process Explorer, and I made it really, really simple for you to do virus checks on your family's computers. You just come in here and you say, check VirusTotal in the command here. It's going to say I can enable VirusTotal results in the option menu. So I go to options, and I go to virustotal.com, and I say check virustotal.com. Of course, it's going to ask me to check, make sure I check the terms and conditions. And then once I have, it's submitting hashes for all of the images that it's showing in the display here. And within a few seconds, we should start to see these things come back with reports from VirusTotal. And you can see them right there. And actually, there's something flagged by some antivirus engine. So if you look at this monitor.exe, which is the back monitor application, we don't see a company name on there, which is kind of suspicious.
Yeah, that's you're not giving me
confidence. Take a look at the strings on this to see if we can find
usstuff.com.
Yeah, so it's an iCatch PC camera console. You can even see the source path. So they're using Visual Studio 8 to build this thing.
So that's 2000.
So it looks like it's a camera, some kind of camera thing.
Nice.
And if we spend a few more minutes, we could probably figure out which company made it. But we can click on that now to see which antivirus engine detects this and what does it think it is. And you see Nano Antivirus, which sounds like a very reputable antivirus. reporting this thing as a WS game Crowfic. Chances are that's a false positive.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Yeah.
I like how it changed color, so it kind of...
so you can see it, yeah.
So is that one of the things you do now? And if someone says, can you look at my PC? Is this one of the very first things
definitely.
You do?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
And then what's next? What do you do after that?
Sig check, I'll do auto runs. So I haven't integrated auto runs, Sig VirusTotal into auto runs, but that's the next thing I'll do, kind of major thing that I do.
And it was a fair while ago you added auto runs location to Process Explorer, so on the tab, if the process was started via an auto run or is associated with an auto run, so plausibly was started, started by an auto run.
That's right. This I added probably a couple of years ago. This is auto start location.
Hasn't been years, has it?
Well, maybe.
You're aging me.
It's a year and a half, maybe.
Yeah.
But if you look, this is Process Explorer builds from shared libraries that are also that auto runs is also built from, and so it'll perform scans if you enable that of the same auto start entries that auto runs does, and for any match here we'll show you how that thing is activated. So this is just as a little piece of trivia. If you look, well, how does Explorer get started? It's registered here in HKLM software, Microsoft Windows NT current version WinLogon shell, which is the app that Windows will start when it creates your user session for your interactive user session. It'll look in that key and start whatever that's pointing to.
Yeah, so if you change the explorer.exe to cmd.exe, all you'll get is a command prompt.
Command prompt, right. Which is what basically safe mode does.
Safe mode. So is there a jump to auto runs from here, or is that something you have to do kind of manually?
I don't remember. I don't think there is.
Change request?
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, wait, there's a jump to this, though. If you go to Properties and you go to Image, this will show up here as well. And if I say Explore, that'll take me to that place. And then, boom, there's the shell right there. So we could change it to Command.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Anything major coming down the pipeline?
It's kind of odd, like, not remembering how to use my own tools.
Yeah, you know, it's
like, people are like, did he really write those?
Well, you're so prolific. That's the problem, right?
Yeah.
So. Is there anything coming down the pipeline?
Like I mentioned, just auto runs with the SigCheck, with the VirusTotal integration. That's going to be the next big thing.
Yep.
But then a bunch of, you know, enhancements along the same scale that we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your book? You want to mention your book?
Yeah. Book, Rogue Code, out May 20th. And here, available at the bookstore here at TechEd for people early, which is...
For double the price?
Yeah, for double the price. Actually, you can get it cheaper online than you can from a retail store.
Well, thanks for being here. Really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Come see us more often.
All right, thanks,
Larry. Love having you.
See you, Mark.
See you next week.